From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, July 28, 2017. And on this day, the Department of Health and Human Services in Maine wants to change regulations for in-home daycares. Child advocates say some of those changes could put kids in danger. And we'll look at the rules in Maine to restrict opioid prescriptions. It's been a year since they were enacted. Those stories in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Master of Public Health Program, preparing students for today's complex population health and health services needs.
First tonight, child care advocates are voicing their opposition to proposed changes and regulations governing in-home child care facilities in the state. The Department of Health and Human Services says it wants to streamline an assortment of policies in order to increase access to affordable child care, especially for parents in rural areas. The proposals are scheduled for public hearing before a legislative committee this evening. A.J. Higgins has more.
Rita Furlow, a senior policy analyst with the Maine Children's Alliance, says she is troubled by many aspects of the proposal that would change staff-to-child ratios and eliminate requirements that new employees be trained in CPR and first aid. Furlow is also critical of the department's plan to relax a policy that requires state child care inspectors to make an unannounced visit to an in-home child care facility within 18 months of being licensed.
There are statutory provisions, there are federal provisions that require annual unannounced visits, but the new rules seem to relax that and to give the department, we may do these annual unannounced visits. I mean, that is really, I think, a weakening of the standards.
Furlow and other advocates are expected to testify against portions of the proposed changes before the legislature's Health and Human Services Committee this evening. Efforts to reach DHHS spokeswoman Samantha Edwards were not successful, but the department has stated in a published news report that it is recommending the changes as a way to streamline in-home child care services, to increase access for rural Maine parents, and to increase the number of child care providers statewide. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm A.J. Higgins.
2 months after ruling out a bid for the U.S. Senate, Republican Governor Paula Page suggested today that there is a chance he may challenge independent U.S. Senator Angus King next year. LePage told Portland radio station WGAN that he may reconsider if Auburn State Senator Eric Brakey's Senate bid doesn't gain traction.
I'm going to tell you this. I think I'm going to watch what Eric Brakey's doing, and if he doesn't start resonating pretty quick, there's a possibility I might change my mind.
LePage also said he's getting pressure from the Trump administration to run and that he hopes Brakey's campaign is successful. LePage has repeatedly dangled the possibility of challenging King for well over a year, but his political advisor released a statement in May saying he is not running next year. It's not clear how serious the governor is about a Senate bid, particularly after he told WGAN 2 weeks ago that he looks for ways to mislead reporters. And it's been a year since Maine enacted the toughest opioid prescription limits in the country. It came in response to an addiction epidemic where, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, nearly half of all opioid overdose deaths involve a prescription painkiller. But some chronic pain patients in Maine rallied against the restrictions, and the legislature recently took action to make exceptions easier. Patty White reports on how the law's working.
Name a surgery, and there's a decent chance Ed Hodgson has had it.
Knee replacement, hip replacement, elbows. I've got screws in my feet.
The surgeries, more than 20 of them, were for Hodgson's rheumatoid arthritis. Along with those surgeries came opioid prescriptions for pain. But Hodgson says the pain never went away.
It numbed it for a while. And then, then I needed more.
Oh, so gradually over time you needed a higher dose.
Higher dose, yeah. And then I found Dr. Med, and that's my angel right there.
Dr. Donald Med is a general internist in Westbrook. He helped Hodgson taper off his opioids in 2014. That was well before Maine's law went into effect last July. It capped new prescriptions to no more than 100 morphine milligram equivalents, the standard used to measure potency, per day. Patients with existing prescriptions were given a year to taper down and adjust. Dr. Med was ahead of the curve because he noticed many chronic pain patients grew angry about their pain and demanded more medication. At the same time, they struggled to function in daily life.
You know, at some point, the medications get in the way of, you know, some sort of recovery.
Hodgson says pain medication affected his mood and his memory. Dr. Med cut Hodgson's opioid prescription in half and connected him to a therapist to address his emotional struggles with rheumatoid arthritis. Hodgson says he experienced withdrawal symptoms for about a month, but now his prescription is well below the allowable limit. His pain is the same as when he was taking high-dose opioids, but he says his life is infinitely better.
I can remember things. I get along better with people.
Even though Dr. Med has witnessed success stories like Hodgson's, he initially opposed Maine's law. He says he didn't want lawmakers interfering with medicine, but now he thinks it was a necessary nudge. His medical group has cut the number of chronic pain patients on opioids almost in half, from about 1,500 to 800. Gordon Smith of the Maine Medical Association says overall, the state of Maine has seen a drop in painkiller prescriptions. He says it was a trend underway even before the law took effect.
We had the fourth largest drop in the country, 21.5% reduction in opioid prescriptions from 2013 through 2016.
That data only includes the first few months of Maine's law, but Smith says he expects the law will accelerate further reductions.
Having said that, it's not been easy. It's been particularly difficult for patients.
It's been especially difficult for the 16,000 Maine patients on high-dose opioids who were expected to taper to the 100 morphine milligram limit by July of this year.
I was about four times above that.
Brian Rocket started taking opioids for pain decades ago after he got into several accidents racing motorcycles and boats. Now he operates a wholesale lobster buying business. He uses alternative therapies to alleviate his pain, but he says opioids allow him to do his physically demanding job. When he tried tapering off, he says he had unbearable pain. He filed an intent to sue the state.
I just knew that I was facing possibly losing my business.
A certain group of people simply can't come off it.
Jeffrey Gratwick is a retired rheumatologist and a state senator who recently pushed through a change to the law that allows broader exemptions so that people with incurable chronic conditions can take high doses.
They put the decision about that back into the hands where it should be, the doctor and the patient.
Under the revised law, Ryan Rocket was able to increase his dose, and he dropped the lawsuit. Even though more patients could potentially seek exemptions, the restrictions are seen as an important step. Recent data from the U.S. CDC found that nationwide, despite an overall decrease in recent years, the number of opioids prescribed is still triple what it was in 1999. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Thursday, July 28th, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.